You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
You know, the great thing about the beginning of the new year is you can start fresh. No matter how you fell short in this year, you can make great strides. You can have a fresh narrative. You can do new things. You can start all over, especially in areas that need improvement. And so as we peer into 2017, we really have this beautiful, clean slate. And so what will this new year hold? A lot of us are asking that question. What is this next year going to be like? And tonight, it's so important that we ask the question, what does God want to say to us about this next year? And as equally important as that is, what is it that he's saying, and can we repeat that back into our year? Can we speak God's word into that year? Because I believe we have a moment when we cross the threshold of the year, when just like in the garden, God is bringing an opportunity to us and saying, name that. I want you to name that. Name your year. And so it's important to get an understanding of what God is saying about the year and then begin to repeat that back to your life and begin to repeat that back to your circumstances and begin to repeat that back and prophesy that over your lives, to rehearse that word. And as I was thinking, it's important that we as we look at God and the way he does things, he's very purposeful in how he does things. There's a design to everything that God does. And as I was in prayer, God gave me a dream this year, and a dream this week, rather. And I want to share some things from that dream that God gave me. And as I look at that, I want to show you how it applies to the year. But first, I want you to understand that God is very intentional about our lives. God is intentional about, just like we are intentional about our children, if we have children, family members, we're intentional about what we do for our children. God is very intentional. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you." I want you to put your finger on your chest and say, before I was born, God knew me and he appointed me. And so there is a design to the things of God. It's not an accident. It's a design for our future, for our purpose. And this is the year of manifested destiny. No, different years, you know, there's always a destiny. There's always a thing that God is doing. But there is a particular thing that God is doing about this year where he is manifesting the destiny of our lives. And so this is the year of manifested destiny. Say it with me. The year of manifested destiny. We have to begin to repeat back to God what he is saying about our lives. Because far too often we get caught up in saying what other people are saying or what other people think. Might be someone else's opinion, might be a family member's opinion, might be a friend's opinion. But what is God saying about our life and our year? There's some great things. How many believe that God wants to do some great things this next year? I know that God wants to do some great things. God wants to lead us. And as I was thinking about it, I just saw the imagery of God taking us by the hand and walking with us, partnering with us, leading us. And I thought about the words of David when it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through some valleys, some dark seasons, I know he's with me, right? I know his protection is with me. I know his favor is with me. So I just saw God going with us, leading us, taking by the hand, and partnering with us in this future, in this year of manifested destiny. But before we get on to this amazing journey and do that, I want to tell you what God began to show me in this dream. He showed me two things that would be roadblocks to our destiny. Two possible roadblocks to destiny. And we'll go over those tonight. The first thing, because these two things can get in your way, especially in this next season. Maybe you've had a taste of it in the last part of this year, but this is what I saw. First off, a great facade. A great facade. First, this is what God showed me, where people get deceived, and there's some things that aren't as they appear to be, and there's some people that you thought they were one thing, but they're really something else. Some circumstances that at first glance you thought it was one thing, but it was actually something else. You got into the middle of something because you thought it was this type of thing, but it was really something altogether different. And so I saw this great facade. And if I can bring it to a practical place, does anybody have that family member or close friend that they could just make you laugh? They could make you have a good time, but you wouldn't trust them with a $20 bill. You know, you're slapping each other on the back, laughing. And then the next day you didn't realize one of those slaps was a knife. Frenemies, okay? We all have some people in our life. But I just saw that one of the roadblocks to destiny can be the wrong relationships in our life. Somebody that is pretending to be something that they're not. And so sometimes we have people that appear to be friendly while actually sabotaging destiny in our lives. And so this is what I saw. Just as God is sending people into your life in 2017, the enemy will be attempting to send people into your life to appear as friends, to appear as allies, but really to subvert destiny in your life. The enemy wants to put relationships in place that seem friendly, but will do something subversive. Ephesians 6:12 tells us something, because before we get really, really upset with people and paranoid about people and always looking over our shoulder about people, I like to go back to this scripture, which says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So at the end of the day, you know, a lot of times these people that are doing negative things, either out front in our face or behind our back, it's not really about them. It's really about forces that are at work that make them do stuff. Ever heard somebody in court, they're testifying, and they said, "I just don't know why I did this thing." There's people sometimes in our life, and they don't know why that they're betraying trust. They don't know why that they're disappointing you, letting you down, taking from you. But there are things that we're wrestling with that are beyond what we can naturally see. And so this is what we have to be prepared to deal with. We are dealing with the enemy of our souls, the devil. The person that we're really at war with is not the flesh and blood enemy. So we have these people, these relationships that we have to look out for. They appear friendly, but they are actually sabotaging the destiny that God is trying to release in our lives. These relationships, we can't shut everybody out of our lives. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying by discernment, by our connection, by our relationship with God, to know, to distinguish the difference between who God is sending into our lives and who the enemy has sent into our lives. Right? So when we have a relationship that's in our lives that is like a frenemy, a person that is a relationship that seems friendly, we have to learn to know who to trust. We have to learn. There's a difference between loving somebody and trusting somebody. There's a difference between listening to somebody and taking someone's advice. And that is the key portion of understanding how we have to discern relationships in this new season. The trickiest part about some of these frenemies, some of these relationships in our life is a lot of times they don't even realize what they're doing. Maybe in their thought process, they are trying to do the right thing. And they don't realize that they're sabotaging things in your life. The most clever deception is the one that you begin to believe yourself. And so unfortunately, there are relationships sometimes in our lives that they have begun to believe the lies that they're sowing into your life. I'll give you an example. Because sometimes there's somebody that's well-meaning, but while they're trying to show care and show concern for you, they're telling you to play it safe instead of play it by faith. God works through people. The enemy works through people as well. And it oftentimes can be someone who's trying to give you a good word instead of a God word. A good word instead of a God word. You see, because we have to watch out for natural compassion. Natural compassion will lead you down a natural path. Natural compassion will, it's different than spiritual compassion. Natural compassion will lead you to oftentimes fear and complacency instead of stepping out and doing something bold and doing something by faith and taking a tenacious stance on something God has spoken to you and you know He spoke it to you. In this next season, watch your relationships. Watch your relationships. Yeah, watch out for the regular old enemies, the ones that are just nasty and say ugly things and do ugly things right out in your face. But be discerning about the other relationships that might be doing things that would sabotage the blessings that God wants to release. So this is what I saw. First thing. First thing is what? A great facade. Number two. The battle of the mind. The second thing God began to show me was there's a battle over the mind. And I know we know this, but I'm talking about particularly two different things that God is saying. These are things that are going to be attacks. To be aware of them so that the enemy doesn't get the upper hand. What happens when God shows you something? You have that real crystal clear moment with God. And you know God told you a thing. He told you something to do, or He gave you some promise. And you know you had that moment. What happens? What happens when God reveals to you? Well, the next thing that happens is the enemy comes in and tries to enter the conversation. Try to add to what's already been said. We think about the garden. We think about, you know, Adam, and it was really clear what God said. He said, look, I'm giving you these promises. I'm giving you this responsibility. I'm giving you dominion. I'm giving you a wife. I'm giving you, you know, carte blanche here. But just, you know, stay away from this tree. You can have the run of the rest of the place, but stay away from this tree. Now, the enemy comes in right after God makes it crystal clear. And he tries to enter the conversation and convolute the conversation. This is what happens with the battle of the mind. Once God talks, and it's clear when God talks. How many have had a moment when God talked to you and it was clear? Most everyone in the room of us have had that moment. But then what's the very next thing that happens? The enemy comes in and begins to talk on the subject and begins to raise doubts, raise fears, raise questions, raise rationalizations. The battle of the mind is a battle of fear versus faith. Battle of fear versus faith. You know, God gives us these moments when He gives us a directive, a direction. Do this, and I am going to do that. And then we see the giants. Then enters the conversation on doubt. Then enters the conversation on fear. And I know that God gave me this promise. I know that God told me to do this thing. But I'm also wrestling with what? Spiritual powers that are making me want to be afraid, want to doubt. The children of Israel had several moments, but particularly when they were in the desert and they just said, you know what, let's just go back to Egypt. You know, I'm thinking that it wasn't so bad there. We were slaves, but you know, we had a roof over our head. We had food. We, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad as we thought it was. The problem is this, right when we're on the verge of our promise, the enemy comes with a conversation to try to talk us out of our destiny. God is trying to manifest destiny in our lives. God is trying to give us a year that's like no other year, and we're on the verge of our promise, crouched before destiny, and guess what? This whole other conversation starts up. One of doubt. One of fear. And that's what I saw. We're crouching, ready to dive, ready to explode into the purpose of God. And the question is this, what are we listening to? What are we listening to? Do we have our focus still determined on the original word that God gave us? Are we listening to a side conversation that begins to rationalize out, well, maybe just stop for a moment. Maybe let's stop and slow down and think about that. When you're on the verge of something truly liberating, the enemy will sow fear and doubt. When you're on the right track, or when you're on the track that God has for you, the enemy will try to make you doubt yourself, your calling, your destiny, your ability. He'll try to make you doubt everything. Everything of value in your life. To get you to stop, I believe the enemy will throw about anything at you. And what's interesting so often is the devil can make complacency look like a good idea. You know, just, you know, the more stable thing to do is just sit there for a little longer. And, you know, let's think it through. Let's talk it through one more time. You know, I know God said this, but have we really, you know, talked out all the strategies? And you know what? God said to Abraham, he said, go. Get out of your father's house. Go. And you know what? Abraham went. He didn't wait for a five-point plan. He didn't wait for the blueprints. He didn't wait for the GPS coordinates. He didn't wait for a hard map. Nothing. He just started to go. Why? Because faith is faith. Sometimes faith is just faith. It's not about sitting there and rehearsing. Well, you know, when is the time? There's never a perfect time. There's never a perfect time to step out on faith. Was there a perfect time for Peter to step out on the water? No, no, no. There was no perfect time. So the enemy, he oftentimes, he's sowing these thoughts. There's a story in Judges 6 through 8. It's a story of a young man by the name Gideon. And he was a man that was born to lead. He was a man that was born to change the course of a nation. But he was hiding in the wine press. He was hiding in his father's house. God called him to lead a nation. God called him to be a courageous leader. And he was hiding in his father's house. This is what the enemy does to try to subvert your destiny. Try to keep you. It's okay you have a destiny, but the enemy doesn't want you to see that thing manifested. And so Gideon had a destiny. That was not a problem with the enemy as long as it was not manifested. We have to make choices. It's going to be this year a choice of fear or faith. Fear or faith. There's a battle in the mind, and it's over fear or faith. Ask yourself, what is it going to be this year? Is it going to be fear, or is it going to be faith? God wants to break you out into a whole new place. But the enemy is going to be right there, right before you get the victory. And he's going to raise some questions. He's going to raise some concerns. He's going to, well, wait a second. Let's think about this. And we have this battleground. We all have it. It's right here in the mind. We have to decide what we are listening to. Are we listening to the doubt? Or are we listening to the word of God? Are we going to listen to fear or listen to faith? This battleground between our ears. This is what it comes to, whether you like it or not. Okay, I hope I don't upset somebody. Do you have more faith in the negative circumstance, or do you have more faith in the power of your God? Can I look at you and say, how big is your devil? How big is your God? How big is your devil? And how big is your God? That's what it comes down to. Do you have more faith in your adversary, the enemy, your giants, or do you have more faith in God? Faith is really trust in God. Trust. When we lack faith, we're really lacking in trust. And that's the honest, painful thing that, you know what? We should never sugarcoat it. If we're having fears or doubts in our lives, the honest thing is this. When we choose fear over faith, we're saying, God, I'm having trouble trusting you right now. God, there's an area in my life, I love you, but I'm just having trouble trusting you. That you mean what you say. That your word is valid. And so, fear or faith? We're saying, God, I either trust you or I don't trust you. A breakout year requires, say it with me, requires breakout faith. God wants to break you out. Turn to somebody and say, God wants to break you out. God wants to break me out. But it's going to take breakout faith, a firm reliance on God, a trust in God that is unwavering. It doesn't mean that the conversation doesn't come. I didn't say that the conversation isn't going to begin, that the devil says, oh, well, what about this? And what about this doubt? What about this fear? But the question is, who wins the argument? The question is, where does the conversation end? A trust, a conversation that always ends with, I trust you, God. A position of life that says, at the end of the day, I trust you, God. I may not understand every variable, but I trust you, God. There may be some things that I'm frustrated about, but I trust you, God. I'm not going to give way to fear. Because I trust you, God. Trust is saying, Jesus, call me out on the water into the unknown. Let me walk where you walk. The miraculous, greatness, destiny, purpose, all lie in the realm of the unknown. And it takes faith to get there. You can't get to greatness without faith. You can't get to blessings without faith. You can't get to the miracle without faith. There is always some faith required to get purpose, to get greatness, to get achievement of God, to walk in your calling in God, there is always some faith requirement. It's actually impossible to please God without faith. What is it that God is saying this year? It's the year of manifested destiny. He wants to take you farther than you've ever been before. He wants to take you to the unknown. Something new. Something you've never, ever, ever done before. You want to go to the new place of blessing? You want to go to the new season of God? Guess what? You're going to have to do something new. Something you've never done before. You're going to have to take every bit of faith that you've ever had and put something on top of it. Can I challenge you? Can I tell you the truth? It's going to take, to go to the next place in God, every bit of faith that you've ever had before, and then some. Because there is no miracle without faith. There is no destiny without faith. There is no purpose without faith. God wants to manifest His destiny in our lives. It's unknown. It's scary. It makes you uneasy. But it's miraculous. And it's God. And it's destiny. Let's bow our heads. God, I thank you for how you're moving in this room. How you're moving in our hearts. How you've moved in this year. But God, I know even greater is coming. I know that this is the moment of manifested destiny. This is the year of manifested destiny. We don't have to look back to the Egypts that we've been in. We don't have to look back at skeletons, at failures, at things that we messed up in this year, because we're looking forward into the destiny that you're manifesting in our lives. And God, I thank you that you would give us an irrepressible spirit, that we would have that type of tenacity, like when you told Joshua to be strong and courageous. And even though the odds were against him, he knew that his destiny was manifesting. God, I thank you for a church. I thank you for a people that are not afraid to take bold steps this year to say, you know what? I'm not going to move in fear. I'm going to move in faith. I'm not going to take steps backwards in fear and go back into the things that I was in before, but I'm going forward into the things that are unknown. But I do know this, it is God, and it will be blessed, and it will be greater, and it will be purpose, and it will be God's design. Can we exercise the faith to start this year anew? To start this year and say, you know what? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. The things that I messed up last year, you know what? I'm going to do better this year. The stuff that I failed in, I'm going to succeed in. And the successes that I had last year, I'm going to build on those successes because I'm going to have greater faith. Lord, we thank you for it. God, I proclaim over your people tonight a year of manifested destiny. A year of manifested destiny. God, let us have the courage. Let us have the obedience. Let us have the zeal to walk into the purpose and the destiny that you have for us. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let's give God the praise.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.